truth. It's good to see each and every one of you. I commend you for being here. I realize that there are other places you could be and other things you could be giving your time and attention to. But on the Lord's Day, you chose to be with those of like precious faith. And I appreciate that. I again want to welcome our visitors. We thank you for coming. We are blessed at nearly every service to have visitors among us, and we thank you for being here, and we hope you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. You take your Bibles out and follow on with me. Make sure that what is being said is in harmony with the Bible. And if I miss the mark, you let me know that. If I'm wrong about it, you show me that according to the Bible. I'll be honest about it, make correction of it, never preach it again. They've got to be well pleased with the things that are said. But on the other hand, if you study it and you find out that what I have said is in harmony with the Bible, then the only thing that I ask is that you believe it, obey it, teach it to others, that you can go to heaven when life is over. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 78 and in verse 41, the Bible says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God." And the last part of that verse says, "And limited the Holy One of Israel." You know, there are some things that the Bible points out that are limited. There's a number of divine limitations that you read about in the Bible. In fact, we are gathered today to do upon this first day of the week what we would not do any other day of the week as we come together and worship God. We partook in the Lord's Supper. Well, God has limited the day in which we are authorized to do that. We gave of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. That day is limited to the first day of the week in which we are authorized to give of our means. So there's a number of things. It makes a good study. As you think about things that the Bible places a limitation on. But there are some things that are extended to all. You know, even being a child of God, there are things that are afforded the child of God that the world does not participate in, that are not extended to them, except they obey the gospel. The spiritual blessings that you read about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says that they are in Christ. And so you have to be in Christ to have spiritual blessings. But I want us to think about what the Bible says about all men. There's a number of times that the Bible mentions all men, and it makes a good study as we think about things that the Bible extends or talks about to all men. You might want to get an outline and look at these. We may not go in that same order as listed in the outline, but you'll have them before you as you make a study of all men. The first one I want you to think about is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12. And in verse 17, when Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest." Now watch this for our first point. Provide things honest in the sight of who? All men. We need to be concerned about doing what is right and honest before all people. Not just before individuals that we have our minds made up that we want to impress. But we need to do what is right, just, and good and honest in the sight of all men. Whether they're Christians or not. Every single one of us interact with people within God's family and out of God's family every week, probably every day, no doubt. And so we need to be interested in providing things that are honest in the sight of all men. I think about what is stated in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 8, Paul's writing to the church of Christ at Philippi. And he says, "Finally, brethren," this sermon will preach itself. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise." Now he lists these several things he talks about. Things that are true, honest, just, good, lovely, pure. Things of good report. Now watch what he says. Think on these things. Be mindful of those things. Give attention to those things because they matter. I want to present to you before long, maybe a week or so, I don't know. Some things that really do matter. You hear a lot about this, that, and the other matters today. The Bible points out some things that really do matter. These things matter. Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 8. As you think about all men, not only should we be interested in providing things that are honest before all men, I want us to think about the fact that prayers are to be made for all men. And there's a reason for that. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Ethan did a good job in reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And notice, as Paul is writing to young Timothy, a young preacher, what he says to them. I exhort, I encourage, I admonish. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for those that you like. Text doesn't say that, does it? Sometimes it's easy to be mindful of doing things for those that you just like, as opposed to those that you may have a difference with, or whatever the case may be. But he says, be made for all men. When's the last time you've prayed for all men? I had two prayers, and we appreciate those good prayers that were led this morning. When's the last time that we were involved in praying for all men? And he goes on to qualify, to talk about specifically some, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The New King James Version says, in gravity, or reverence rather, and the American Standard Version uses the word gravity. Now watch verse 3. Why should I be interested in doing that? He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now he just talked about that prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, supplications be made for all men. And talks about those in authority. Because it's good, acceptable in the sight of God. And watch verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So you need to be interested in praying for all men. There's a lot that we need to be engaged in praying for. You think about what you need to pray for. Make you a study sometime. Pull your Bible out. And begin to write down and list some things of which we are duty-bound to pray for. You know, sometimes we talk about prayer from the standpoint of that we are blessed with the privilege of prayer. And that's true. Praying to God as our Father is a privilege. But ladies and gentlemen, we are also duty-bound to pray. The Bible points out in places like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and then verse 17, pray without ceasing. Continually, be a prayerful person. I think about James chapter 5 and then verse 16. Confess your faults one toward another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to be interested in praying for one another and praying for all men. Number 4. The Bible also points out that God expects all to repent. Acts chapter 17. Paul's talking to those men as individuals of Athens, a place that was given to idolatry. Gives them a good sermon. It's a sermon that we'll preach. I enjoy preaching it. And among other things, as he talks to them, notice what he says in verse 30. God winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Who's included in that all men? Well, begin with yourself and then go all around the room. All those that are able enough to do so, old enough and so forth, are expected or required of God to repent. That is, to turn from the wrong ways, change their mind, and do that which is right. Matthew chapter 21 talks about a good Bible definition of repentance. God requires all men everywhere to repent. A lot of verses talk about repentance. Acts chapter 3 and then verse 19. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What about you this morning? Have you repented? Turn from your ways that would be contrary to what God would have you to do and do that which is right. God expects that of all men. Now, it's not in the outline, but it'd make another good point. In the very next verse, in Acts 17, verse 31, for God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath before ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. I assure you, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, He's coming again, and there will be a day of judgment. So He made preparation for that day. One more point, as was read in our Scripture readings. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 4. Who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants you to be saved. We want you to be saved and go to heaven when life is over. Have you obeyed? You know, there's danger in delay. The invitation that Jacob selected, it did a good job in leading those hymns. Selected a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you decided to do that? Why leave this building in a position being unsaved, not right in the sight of God? There's danger in delay. You don't know if tomorrow will be here or not. Don't bank on saying, well, I can have another day. The book of Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know if you're going to have another day. But you have this day that you can obey. We may look at some more ways in which the Bible talks about all men tonight. Or we may look at something different. But you be sure to come back. Come back tonight, a child of God, having obeyed this morning. Will you do that? You may say, preacher, I don't know how to become a Christian. I don't know what I need to do. I want to obey, but I don't know how. Well, it's simple. You do what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, we talked about that. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God as He commanded in Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and then verse 38. When you do that, all of your sins will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And He'll add you to the church of Christ that you read about in the Bible, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that. But you've turned your back on the Lord and you've not been living as you should and you want to come home and be restored. Start anew. You can do that, repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayers. He's commanded. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.